Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Already, seven districts in Washington State have delayed the start of school because of teachers unhappy with their pay under the McCleary decision. Seattle teachers have now voted to authorize a strike. And, of course, the question comes up every time this happens, are teacher strikes even legal? Let's consult with the last attorney general to write an opinion on this, former state attorney general Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems and the Arista Point Private Group Marketplace. You wrote your opinion in 2006, Rob. Does it still apply today as far as you're concerned?
Well, it's still a good reading of the law. And the law is that public employees in Washington are authorized to collectively bargain. They can have unions, but they are not authorized to strike. And unless they're authorized to strike, it's illegal. A few statutes governing a few groups of public employees, like ferry system employees, actually expressly state they're prohibited from striking. But for everyone else, it's the absence of that authorization that makes the strike illegal. And every Superior Court judge who's ruled on this has come down the same way.
So, of course, these strikes still happen. So what are the consequences?
Well, sometimes the school districts, in the case of teacher strikes, go to court seeking an injunction ordering the teachers back to work. And in every case that I'm aware of where a judge has issued a ruling, they've ruled that the teachers have to go back to work. The strike's illegal. At that point, although state law doesn't impose any penalties on public employees who strike, if you violate a court order to go back to work, you can be guilty of contempt of court and be fined. But I'm not aware that any group of represented employees has ever done that. They've all chosen to go back to work at that point.
And who has standing to bring a case like that?
Well, it depends on who the employees are. In the case of teachers, it needs to be the school district led by the school district board or board of trustees who have to go to court. The attorney general, the governor, superintendent of public instruction, they don't have standing to go to court to get teachers to go back to work.
So this particular set of strikes coming after the McCleary decision frees up all this money. My understanding is that part of the money was designated under the decision to go to teacher salaries, correct?
Yes, because one way in which our education funding system was unconstitutional is that we were requiring school districts to fund a big chunk of basic education costs. And the state had to step up and put a lot more money into teacher salaries to cover those basic education expenses.
But in terms of what the will of the court was, I mean, we always hear the argument that you get what you pay for. If you want quality teachers, you got to pay a salary that is at least somewhat competitive with private industry. And isn't that part of what the court's intention was in deciding that a chunk of this has to go to salaries?
I don't think the court was weighing in on the adequacy of salaries. I think they were weighing in on who pays the salaries. Mm-hmm. And putting a big part of the burden on local school districts is exactly what the Constitution is intended to avoid, because that means that how much teachers get paid depends in part on where they live, where their students live, and it can mean that the quality of education the student receives varies based on where they live.
So you don't think the court intended then to actually raise teacher salaries just to change the source of the money?
Yeah, I think that's the heart of the case.
So teachers then who are arguing that they deserve a raise because of McCleary, you feel, are misreading the decision?
Well, McCleary resulted in legislative decisions that, have created a temporary extra bump mm-hmm. in education funding. First of all, make no mistake about it, we're spending more money every year on education.
I didn't think it was intended to be revenue neutral, right? I mean, the whole idea was to put more money in education, was it not?
Well, it was first and foremost to put more money from the state into education, but that's supposed to result in a corresponding reduction in the amount of money coming from local tax levies, so that 90% of the cost of educating a student is being funded by the state, not by a local school district. That was the heart of it. This has resulted in a temporary bump because there's a delay between the time the state increased the amount of money it's spending and the decrease in the amount of money coming from local school districts. But on top of all of that, the legislature has stepped up and they've increased overall spending for public education. They're spending more per student as well, because they wanted our state to not rank near in the bottom half of spending per pupil. So there are both things going on. There's the question of where the money comes from, state versus local school district, and the question of overall spending. But I think that's more in the legislature's province to say we want to make a bigger investment in K-12, and I think they're doing that. But since school teacher salaries are still set district by district. When a school district has a bigger budget overall, regardless of where the money's coming from, the teachers are, and other school district staff are trying to get a bigger chunk of it. That's understandable. Ultimately, what some legislatures think ought to happen is a statewide salary schedule and a statewide educator salary negotiation process, so that you don't have 290 school districts with 290 separate contracts resulting from 290 separate bargaining processes.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation sponsored by Terra Firma Foundation Systems and the Arista Point Private Group Marketplace. Rob, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.